Wow, we are in the middle of summer. I mean, here we are. It is July the 5th. It is a crazy to think we're already halfway through the summer. I mean, it's amazing to me. People, you can look around and go, people are vacationing right now. I mean, they are all over the place. You look online, you see people at the beach. You see them hanging out, grabbing some sun. They're sitting by the pool. They've got the music turned up to 10. That was me. I was a guy laying around by the pool. You can't tell now. It's got that translucent-looking skin, you know. But and you'd been the one yelling at me like I was my neighbors at midnight last night. Turn it down, you know. I love to have the music turned up. Music speaks to us, doesn't it? I mean, it speaks to us. This past week, I was kind of swiping through, USA Today. And the USA Today had an article. It talked about the top summer hits of the last 20 years. And so as I'm swiping through, looking at those different songs, man, I'm like taken back. I'm thinking about those. Now, granted, for me, it takes me back to my kids. All right, because I'm remembering the songs in light of my kids and what were going on. Some of those songs I was looking at, I was going, yeah, that was like a one-hit wonder. I mean, like, what is Carly Rae Jepsen doing today anyway? I mean, as you're walking through those going, this is crazy. Guys, have you ever stopped and you started thinking about, like, right now you're looking back going, you remember songs from when you were in high school. Some of you are going, I'm still there. Think back a summer or two. You can remember what was happening. Or better yet, how about this? Even today, you know, you can pull up Spotify, you can pull up Apple Music or whatever it is that you're using, and you can go to the decades. You can, like, find a playlist of the decades. You can even find summer songs from that decade. And when you play those, it's like you're back. I mean, it's like those songs come on, you can remember you remember all the lyrics, you remember what's happening, you can see yourself in that moment with your friends doing the things you were doing at that moment. Songs are powerful. I mean, they're like really, really powerful how the Lord created us that way. And we're starting a brand new series today called Psalms, Songs for Life. And the reason that we're calling it Songs for Life is that literally the Psalms are songs. The word Psalms means praise. This book is dead in the middle, center of the Bible. It's the longest book in the Bible. It's got the longest chapter, Psalm 119, there. And so it is very, very powerful. It's a huge in the life of the first century Jewish person. And so what we wanted to do, literally, was to give you some new songs that you could begin to sing. Listen, 2020 is weird, isn't it? I mean, it's just weird. Here we are at the seventh month, and who would have ever thought it would have been like it is? And what our desire is this, is that over the next week, we're going to give you a playlist of 5 new songs. Maybe for you they're new, but they're truly timeless. They literally have been sung for thousands of years. And in the first century, the Jewish people, whether they were kids, well, in fact, as kids, they memorized these songs. They memorized these, and it marked their entire life. Psalms, I told you just a minute ago, the longest book, longest chapter. It's the most often quoted book in the New Testament. Jesus quoted from Psalms and the book of Isaiah the most, neck and neck. So already we know this is a huge book. So what we're going to do is we're going to start with the very first psalm, because the very first psalm, Psalm chapter 1, take your Bibles, open up, turn them on, thumb over, do whatever you got to do, because I really want you to kind of begin to see. Man, the lyric video, that lead-in of Psalm 1, that's going to be available online. I'd love for you to utilize that so that you can begin to have a new song. We're going to talk more about this in a little bit, but that's going to be part of what we do over the next 5 weeks, is let's begin to commit the Psalms to our memory. Let's play them. Let's think on them. Let's let them delve deep. Because in the first century, as I said a minute ago, as kids were walking to the temple, you know what they were reciting? Adults, as they're walking to the temple, you know what they're reciting? They're reciting these songs. They became such a part of their life. Pat Hood, the senior pastor at LifePoint, he and I were getting on a plane to go somewhere. I don't remember where it was. We were headed toward, maybe it was a mission trip. We were going to check on some missionaries or something. I don't remember. But I remember it's been a few years back. We were getting on, and over the intercom system, they were playing music as you go in. You know, as you're going in, you're trying to find your seat, you're hustling. That's back when you could get on an airplane and it was safer to get on an airplane. But we were getting on and this music was playing and it was so catchy. It was a summer kind of song, you know, one that you just kind of picked up on. The lyrics started talking about clapping, clap along if you're happy. Clap along if you're happy, like there's a room with no roof. Clap along like there's this happiness. It is the truth. And so, man, I just, you know, I knew a little bit of the song from my kids. I'm walking through there and, you know, I just started clapping. I started doing the clapping, just clapping along. Pat looked at me and go, what are you doing? I said, do you not hear this song? What is it? And so I'm trying to explain what it is. And he goes, who sings it? I said, man, it's a new song. It's by this guy named Farrell. And he, you're laughing too. He said, he goes, dude, I don't know the song, but I know that dude's name is Pharrell. It's not Farrell. At that moment, it just kind of shut me down. I was going, okay, yeah, I'll just put my bag over here and I'll sit down. Listen, the reason I bring that up, and we're not going to read through the psalm. The guy who just did this already has it. I want you looking at it. But the very first psalm out of the gate is this. The very first word in Psalm 1 is blessed. Or if you're like, you've grown up in church, it might be blessed. But blessed, that word in Hebrew literally means happy. That word means happy. Now, oftentimes, I want to say this. I've even taught this a little bit, that you know, we want to make a hard cut between happy and joy. But in the scripture, those words are connected. Having happiness and having a joyful life go together. And here's what we know automatically, okay? I want you to catch this. When you're reading the scripture, when you're looking and you're looking at passages of scripture, this book at the core, longest book, longest chapter, highly quoted, it starts with the very first word, what? Happy. It's about being happy. And so if this is, this psalmist is telling us that if we want to have the life that God desires, he wants us to be happy. Now, what I want you to make sure, and you're going to see, we're not talking about like a superficial happy. This is what this psalm is all about. So this psalm right here is going to set the tone for the next 150 psalms. It's going to help us see why the psalms were even written to begin with. So let's kind of jump in here. He says, blessed, blessed. He said, blessed is the man. And he starts out in a very unique way. If I were going to tell you how to take a path to go somewhere, I would probably just tell you the most direct path. How many on Waze, when you put it in, you want the most direct path, the fastest path. I'm going to tell you this. The psalmist, though, does something unique. And he begins by telling you where happiness is not found. You know, if I were telling you how to get to the Starbucks down here on South Church, I probably wouldn't start by saying, hey, don't go the opposite direction. But this is what the psalmist does. He starts out arguing from a negative perspective, and he begins to tell us this. He begins to say, listen, blessed is the man who doesn't do this thing. And what is the thing that this man doesn't do, this person doesn't do? The scripture tells us in Psalm 1, it says this, that he doesn't walk in the way of the wicked. He doesn't walk in the way of the wicked. Because when you begin walking in the way of the wicked, the scripture goes on, that passage goes on and says, eventually what's going to happen is you're going to stop with the sinners. If you're walking with wicked, you're going to stop with the sinners. You're going to get in discussions. You're going to be with them. Eventually what will end up happening is that this path is going to cause you to sit down Some of your scriptures say scoffers. Another word there that I appreciate are mockers. So you don't walk with the wicked. Don't stop with the sinners and get their counsel. Don't sit down with those who are mocking God. The scripture tells us that's what's going to happen. That is what's going to happen based on what the scripture tells us. What's going on here is that from a negative perspective, he's saying, listen, all of us are influenced. Every one of us sits under influences. And he's saying immediately, don't let this fool you. And how many times have you met someone and you didn't realize, or they didn't realize, you could see it clearly, they couldn't. I want you to know that's it. That happens with us also. People can look at our lives and see things. But you've watched and you thought, man, they are running with the wrong crowd. And eventually you see where it's going to take them. This book, or the book of Psalms, is all about influences. And so what Psalms is saying immediately, these songs, these praise songs that the psalmist are wanting you to sing so the words get in, is reminding you that, listen, true happiness is found in a direction, but it's not found in the direction of just going with the flow. You remember what your mom and them used to always say, don't you? Birds of a feather flock together. You see, folks, hear this. I want you to hear this. We're all being, by the people we hang out with that we allow to influence us, we're all being led somewhere. We don't always recognize it until we end up in the spot where we are. But I want you to know, if you look at the people and how they are living their life, it's going to point out a direction that they're going to be. And if you're being influenced by them, you're going along with them. That's what the scripture begins to tell us. Verse 1, blessed is the man who doesn't do this. Verse 2, though, says this. He goes, but his delight. Now, the word delight is really interesting. The word delight there magnifies happy. It magnifies happy. So if we're talking about being happy, if we're talking about, listen, the life that we want is on a path. It's not this path, it's this path. And if you get on this path, you're going to delight in something. You know, as I was thinking about delight, trying to figure out how do I help us to see that? Well, I had to think about what are the things that I delight in? And I don't know about you, I delight in meals. Meals are really big for me. I love a good meal. So it might be, I want you to think about what's your favorite meal? You know, maybe it's a nice steak. Maybe for some of you, it's a great piece of salmon. In Texas, growing up in Texas, it was a really good Mexican meal. We would eat Mexican all the time. So I'm talking about from this standpoint, when you're eating, not getting like stuffed where you're fitting up going, I'm dying. Like you probably feel right now after all the hot dogs and hamburgers and sausages you ate yesterday. I'm talking about like you've eaten a meal and you sit back and you go, that was awesome. I'm talking about parents. I'm talking about when you saw your child born or the very first time they handed you that baby. Maybe it was the second and third time you had another child, 2, 3, 4. Every time they hand you that baby, it's like, this is delight. Dads especially, moms, you'll face this, I know you do, but dads, I'm gonna speak from a dad's perspective. It doesn't matter if it's a little boy or a little girl. When you see your child do something that you taught them or you've invested in them with and they do it, you sit back and go in your heart, it's like, yes, there's delight in my child. There's delight. Many of you, you know, there are people at the beach, there are mountains, I don't know where it is. Maybe you're a nature person. It's sitting outside, nothing going on, it's quiet, and you're sitting there, and all of a sudden, it's like you have this, the world is right. This is so peaceful. That's delight. And you know what the scripture says here? He says, listen, happy is the person who doesn't do this, but their delight, their enjoyment, their fulfillment, their deepest longing is found in this. Verse two, he says, he delights in the law of the Lord. He says he delights in the law of the Lord. Listen, as a follower of Jesus, I want you to hear this. Our delight should be in what it is that he says in the scripture, that we begin to eat, we begin to take in little by little. Do you remember the very first time after being a follower of Christ, you were reading the word and it was like, oh yeah, this makes sense. I get this. Listen, as you begin to read, as you begin to plant his word in, as you begin to delight in the law of the Lord, you begin to see your life changed. You begin to have a new perspective. The psalmist, the songwriter has already said, listen, if you want to be happy, don't do these things. Don't walk in this way. Don't stand here. Don't sit down with them. You're headed in that direction, but it is delighting in the law of the Lord. And he goes on to say this. He says, listen, when you begin to delight in the Lord, here's what's going to happen to your life. He says, you're going to be like a tree. Now, isn't that just like a creative? A creative person takes something and they draw a picture for us. They help us to see, whether they personify it or they create a metaphor or something. The psalmist writes out and he says, listen, you're going to be like a tree. When you begin to delight in the law of the Lord, when you begin to delight in the scripture, when you begin to take it in, your life is going to become strong. He says, you're going to be like a tree that is planted by living water. I want you to underline, circle that word stream, because that stream is very important. Notice that it doesn't say it's like a puddle. It doesn't say it's like a pool or a dried up reservoir. It says it's like a stream that is flowing. And the picture here is this, is that as it's flowing, there's movement, there's life. The psalmist tells us this, that those who delight in the law of the Lord, they have found life and they're finding happiness. They found life, they found happiness. They're receiving nutrients that are flowing. And it says, listen, you're going to be like a tree that's planted by streams of living water. And it goes on to tell you what happens when that begins to go on. It says, you're going to yield its fruit. That tree will yield its fruit in season. Do you realize that an apple tree doesn't bear apples all the time? There's a season when those apples come out. And at the moment that is right, you're going to bear fruit. You know when that's going to be? As you're allowing the Holy Spirit to guide you and to lead you. Because you've been taking in the word. It says you're going to bear fruit in its season. He says his leaf does not wither. That means it doesn't dry up. It doesn't fall off. It says his leaves do not wither. It stays green. It's an evergreen. And it says, and all he does, he prospers. And all he does, he prospers. Now, I want to be really careful here. What this is speaking about, you know, trees don't make money. You realize that, don't you? Trees don't make money. When a tree prospers, it means it's strong, it's healthy, it's growing. It means its leaves are out. It's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. How does it prosper? By being exactly what it was created to be. And the scripture tells us that if you want to live a happy life, if you want your life to be exactly what it is it was designed to be, don't walk over here. Don't go down this path. Don't go down this influence. Go this direction. And you're going to find that in his law, in the scripture. And as you begin to, do you notice what he said about that in verse 3? He says, as you meditate on it. Now, meditation, that's not in the scripture. They're not talking about like navel gazing, where you're going to turn in. It's not that kind of meditation. And that kind of meditation, the whole design is that you're emptying yourself. I want to get out everything that I can. I'm emptying myself. You know what Christian meditation? When the scripture speaks about meditating on his law, it's talking about not emptying, but filling yourself up. You're filling yourself up with his word. You're delighting in his word. You're eating his word. You're tasting and seeing that the Lord, he is good. And he says, when you begin to delight in his word, when you begin to meditate on his word, when his word is not far from you, I don't necessarily mean, now granted, it's always nice to have the Bible near you, but when it's talking about his word is not far from you, it's that it is in you. It has become a part of you. So that when it is a part of you, it begins to do the work that it was created to do. Make you strong. Make you healthy. Make you alive. Cause you to prosper as a follower of Jesus. So quickly, go to verse 4. Verse 4 is unique because he begins to compare. He's contrasting some plants. Do you remember the tree? Those who are meditating on the law of the Lord, those who are taking it in, they're strong trees. Why is that tree strong, real quickly? This is very important. Why is that tree strong? It's got deep, deep roots. I've been trying to study a little bit more about plants, plants at my house and those things. And I don't know a whole lot about them, but as I'm reading, one of the things that you begin to see in horticulture, I think it is? As you begin to see in horticulture is that whatever you see on the top usually is mirrored below. So the principle is that if a tree is extremely tall, it's mirrored by a very deep main trunk root. And then as the tree has a huge canopy, whatever the size of the canopy, usually those roots begin to flow out from there the same size. See, the reason that it is strong, the reason that it is bearing fruit is because it's all kinds of things going on underneath that we can't even see. See, we can look around this room and go, man, we've got people coming to churches. You see all the outward, they're a strong believer. But have you ever looked at a strong believer and then all of a sudden they just fade away? You don't know what's going on. Listen, the strength of a tree is not on what it looks like on the outside. That's what you see on the outside is because of what's going on deep, deep, deep below where you don't ever see. And folks, as we meditate on God's word, it strengthens us. Verse 4 says, not so the wicked. This other path, not so the wicked. Those who are like that, you know what? It calls them chaff. Now, I don't know about you, most of us are not agrarian, so we're not harvesting our wheat. We just go get our wheat bread down here at the store. But wheat, you know, wheat grows in a field, and it comes up in a stalk, and there are all kinds of grain, different amounts of grain on a stalk of wheat. And what it's not just the grains of wheat, but around that grain of wheat, there's a husk, and it's called the chaff. And when you harvest that wheat to get the chaff, what's surrounding that off, it's called winnowing. They would take it, they'll pick up those kernels of those grains, individual grains, they'll shake them, throw them in the air. And when they throw them in the air, what it does in the shaking is it loosens the chaff from the kernel. And you know what happens when they cast it in the air? The part that is weighty, the part that is good, the part that means something falls to the ground because there's substance. The scripture says that the people who are walking on this other path, not so their life. The wicked, not so their life. Those who are influenced this way, not so their life. It says they're like chaff that's been cast up. And what does it say happens to them? They become dust in the wind. It's blown away. It's just blown away. Because there's no root. There's no substance. You see, if you want to have a happy life, if you want to have a truly joyful life, then it's meditating and delighting on the word of God that brings strength to your life. Listen, that tree that is planted by the stream, guess what? It gets the scorching sun. It gets the winter wind. It gets the pests that come and want to eat its leaves and try to invade it. All of those things happen. You know why they happen? Because the tree is like, it's just a common tree. It's such is common to trees. And what happens for us in this metaphor oftentimes is that we think, man, Jesus, I've given my life to you. I go to church, but I'm not delighting in the word. Why are things not happening in my life like this person over here? Father, what is this? Listen, all of us, temptation and sin and hardship and sickness and illness and death is common to men. But have you ever looked at someone and thought, how are they getting through all of this? They still seem to be so happy. They seem to be joyful. Listen, my experience has been there are people who have been deep, deep, deep roots. They've been meditating and delighting in the Word of God. And they've found a happiness that despite the circumstances, because they've been tasting and seeing, they knew where happiness wasn't found. They found where happiness was. It was in delighting in the law. Just as Zion said a minute ago, and I think it's very important that we catch this. So if you're in the family room, wake up. If you're online, wake up. Here, if you're in the auditorium, wake up. Yes, here's the thing. Happiness, you remember a minute ago, I mentioned Pharrell. The song, Happiness is the Truth. You know, oftentimes, as I've thought about that, I think what he, and I'm taking a liberty here, that I think one of the things that he meant was is that happiness is the truth. It's the ultimate. It's the end game. For all of us, if we can just be happy, can't we just be happy? The next step to that usually is this, is that I get to choose what it is that makes me happy. Then it becomes very subjective. And you see people's lives. Here's what you end up seeing. You see people's lives that are destroyed. Because for them, maybe it's a new relationship. You know, the relationship I've got not working, so I'm going to get me a new relationship. You know, I need another job. I need a bigger job. I need a better paying job so I can take a bigger and better vacation because that'll make me happy. The new gadget is going to make me happy. The new of the new technology. It doesn't matter that I just got this one, but now I need this one. And it's fleeting. At that rate, it's like trying to grab oil and water. It just flows through your hands. You see, I do think happiness, though, is the truth. But for those of us who are followers of Jesus, the truth is a person. The truth is Jesus Christ, according to the scripture. John chapter 14, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Listen, please hear this. Today, if you don't know Jesus, you can read the scripture all you want, but until you meet the one who perfectly fulfilled Psalms 1, you won't be happy. The scripture tells us in Psalm chapter 1, it says this, it says, that tree is going to be strong, not so with the chaff, blown away. Verse 5 says the wicked, they're not going to stand in the judgment. Sinners, they will not be in the congregation of the righteous. It says, but the Lord knows the way of the righteous. He knows the way of the righteous. Not only does he know the way of the righteous, verse 6 says he knows where the wicked are going to be. Where are they going to be? They perish. The way of the wicked perishes. Until we know where true righteousness comes. Scripture tells us this. Here's what scripture tells us. It says that all of my righteousness is as filthy rags. All my good works, everything I try to do that's right is filthy rags. Until Jesus Christ has saved me and changed me, and he is the perfect fulfillment, the one who was able to walk this earth. You remember the beginning portion of this in verse 1 where we talked about that progression, that path? The person who walked with the wicked, who eventually stood with the sinners, and then eventually they sat down with mockers, and they mock the things of God. Well, I want you to know Jesus Christ is the perfect fulfillment of what that was not. You realize that Jesus himself did not count equality with God, Philippians says, as something to be held on to. He put on flesh and blood, and what did he do? He walked this earth. He walked it. He walked it perfectly as the living Son of God. He was the living Word who perfectly lived out the written Word of God. He told a lady, he said, listen, the water you're drinking, it's going to leave you thirsty. If you drink from me, the living water, you're never going to thirst again. He was the perfect living water. He walked this earth. You know what else he did? The scripture tells us that he stood in my place. He took the penalty for sin that I could never pay. He stood in my place on the cross. He was the perfect sacrifice. Why? Because when he walked on this earth, he never sinned. He was born without sin, and he committed no sin. And he stood in my place. He was crucified. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. He rose again 3 days later. And today, you know what the scripture tells me? Hebrews says, today he is seated at the right hand of God. He's not seated on this path with those who mock God. No, he's seated at the right hand of God. And you know what he's doing? He is praying right now for you and for me. And today, there's people in here, I want you to hear this. You've been trying to do all kinds of good things. You may be in this room, you may be online, you may be in the family room, and you've tried to do all kinds of good things. But I want you to hear this. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. And until I surrendered my life to Jesus and said, Jesus, I trust you. I've put my faith in all kinds of things, and they all failed me. But today, maybe you need to surrender your life to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you. I need you every hour. I need you right now. Jesus, you are my way. You are the truth. You are the life. And today he may be calling you. Again, whether you're in here, you're in the family room, or you're online. If you're here physically on this campus, I'd love to talk with you. You can come and see me outside in the hallway. If you're not, there is a number that we put up every week that you can text the word Jesus to. You can text the word Jesus to that. And someone today, probably before you, if you're here on campus or within an hour or two, you're going to get a text back. And it's going to start a conversation. We want to walk with you. We want to walk with you. If you've got a prayer request, you can text pray to that same number. If you're a guest today, you can text the word connect to that same number. And we want to walk with you. I would suspect in this room and in the family room, maybe online, there are some of you may be like me at some parts where you are a believer, but maybe your life doesn't feel like a strong tree. Maybe you feel planted by a puddle. Maybe what was once a living stream, that stream of water that was flowing, maybe it feels like it's a trickle right now. Maybe you feel like your leaves are withering up. And you don't feel like you're prospering, you're being what Christ has called you to be. My first question is this. My first question to you is this. What path are you on? What are your influences? You know what? Today we are bombarded by people who want to influence us. And the scripture tells us that we need to meditate on his word, that we need to be like a tree planted. Listen, what we don't want to have happen is that we're taking in all of these influences, being led somewhere, that at the end we look up and realize, I'm standing beside a broken cistern. All the good water has leaked out, and you realize you have been taking in and drinking from polluted water. Maybe you spend way too much time on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, television. You're watching all kinds of cable news and it's just bombarding you and you feel like you're drying up. The scripture tells us to taste and see that he is good. That if we want to have a happy life, our delight should be in the law of the Lord, the scripture. And that we should meditate on it day and night. Today probably seems a little individualistic. But I want you to hear this. The Psalms were written to a community. You know that, don't you? The Jewish people, they were a community. And I want you to hear this. Maybe your family doesn't feel like that strong tree. My question is are you feeding it the Word of God? Are you the strong tree that your family is drawing from? And I want you to hear this. As the family goes, so goes this community. And then when I say family, I want you to hear me. I'm not just talking husbands and wives or I've got five kids versus one kid. I'm talking about you as an individual. You as an individual are a part of this family. And how you go affects how we go. Because we live in community together. So today, here's what I'm asking. One, do you know Jesus? Number two, you may know him, but you feel dry. I want to encourage you. Would you begin to feed God's word? Here's a couple of ways that I'm going to encourage you on that. One, I want to ask you to take Psalm 1, these six verses, and begin planting them in. Begin trying to memorize them. You do that as a family. Find someone that you can begin to hold accountable with. We literally have created, you know, I told you over the next five weeks, we have a playlist for you. No, literally, we do. If you get on Spotify or Apple Music, look up LifePoint Music, you'll see Songs for Life, Psalm 1. We're going to add to it every week. Psalms and songs that are to feed your life. The lyric video that you heard at the beginning of this, of Psalm 1, it's on there. So you can begin to listen to it. So you can begin to plant it into your life so that you might be that strong tree planted by water. All the psalms flow out of Psalm 1. It's all about being the blessed person. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the way of the wicked, who does not stand in the counsel of sinners, who does not sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night, and he will be like a tree is planted by living water, who yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that is blown by the wind. The wicked, they will not stand in the judgment, nor will the sinners be in the congregation of the righteous. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. But the way of the wicked is perishing. Father, we honor you. We magnify you. We thank you and we trust you. I'd ask today, Holy Spirit, that you would do the work that only you can do. I would ask you today to move in a way that would be mighty. Whether people are in the family room, whether you're online or you're in this room here in the auditorium, I'd ask you to bow your heads. I'd ask you to close your eyes. I'd ask you to pray right now. I'd ask you to pray this. Father, where am I? which path am I walking? Who's influencing me? I'd ask you now to make a commitment. If you're walking the path that leads away from happiness, I would ask, would you be willing to surrender your life to Jesus? If you are and you're here on this campus, come see me. Maybe you already know Jesus, but would you make a commitment that you're going to begin to meditate, plant God's word in your life? You're going to eat his word. You're going to taste the living water. Jesus, we magnify you. And I ask that you do the work that only your Holy Spirit can do. Holy Spirit, move in this place. Jesus, call people to yourself. We've tried to lift you high today. Now will you draw men and women, little boys and girls, to you? God, we love you. And it's in the name of Jesus that we ask these things.